Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And today we culminate season four. It's been a good season.
It has been a good season, man.
It's the culmination of season.
It's the culmination of season four.
And a lot of fun. Now, Bruce, here's one thing. You got an interesting story. You had to share this story.
Okay.
And I didn't know where we were going to go with this, but I thought about it now. I'm like, okay. You have to share this story. So we missed you part of the season, and I know the story was told about you being in the dungeon, but it really wasn't a dungeon.
Yes, it was, folks. They had me locked down. It was like, you get on the radio and act a fool, and you're not coming out. No, I'm just kidding.
You had a really good life-changing experience with the purchase of a new home.
It was a journey.
Yeah,
it was a journey. But you know what? I want to go back a little bit prior to us starting that process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is good because sometimes people are in places, and it's helpful to hear other people's testimonies.
That's why I felt like you're supposed to tell it, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so if I go back a little bit before getting to the happy,
yeah,
you know, this time about a year and a half ago, I woke up one day and I was in severe pain.
Mm-hmm.
No rhyme or reason why.
Yeah.
All my joints were just inflamed, and I was in real pain, man. And my knee blew up like a balloon, and you know, it was very different. And I realized that, okay, I'm in a process.
Yeah.
I kind of almost knew instinctively that this is going to be a process.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Word of God. I know Jesus as my redeemer,
mm-hmm,
but I also know him as a healer.
Absolutely.
Like for real.
Absolutely.
Like being diagnosed with
prostate you've been through some cancer stuff. Yeah.
and 10 weeks later getting a clean bill of health.
Yeah.
Like being diagnosed with a lung disease.
Yeah.
40 years ago and I'm still here.
Yeah.
So I know him as a redeemer and I also know him as a healer. And so it kind of felt like, okay, wow, this I'm sensing already that this is going to be a process.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a real process.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start there because, like I said, there's a lot of people, man, that go through stuff and they believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking believers specifically. They believe in Jesus. And I think we've talked about this on, I'm sure, one of the podcasts over this season. You know, just kind of hit it here and there, you know, about having confidence, knowing in whom you believe.
Yeah.
Even when things are not going the way that you'd like them to go.
Right.
Even when you know the word of prayer, as we used to say, you know, and you
those
know
that know the word of
those
prayer.
That know the word of prayer. You know, and you know the scriptures and you confess them, but it seems like they're not working.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real dynamic for the believer.
Sure.
And we don't always understand why God, in my opinion, this is H.B. Franklin, why God has allowed us to walk through this one, this particular way.
Yeah.
I went through a lung disease many years ago, and he walked me through it. I didn't get an instant healing,
mm-hmm,
but I knew that he was a healer.
That's right.
And so, but he walked me through it over a 2-year period, right? And so, but then I turned around and I had another diagnosis, a prostate cancer diagnosis. And, you know, of course, I don't care if people believe me or not, you know, that's beside the point. It happened to me. All I know is that I got better 10 weeks later and I haven't had an issue since.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of 2004. and this is 2025. So you come to your own conclusions, right? So I want to start there because in the midst of all of that, we had been, I laid something before the Lord. Mm-hmm. We own a property. It's a small property, and we were living in that property. I just turned 62 just a couple of weeks ago. And so I'm at a place, and I'm thankful that, you know, I'm looking towards retirement, right? I'm really, really close, right, as far as where I want to be. And so I made a request before the Lord, man, and I was like, God, you know, I'm so grateful that we have this place. The place is paid for. You know, I can say that we owe no man anything but to love him and mean it literally.
Yeah.
But I said, God, I don't want to retire here, because it was a condo.
Yeah.
It was condominium living, and, you know, and I just didn't want to. I was grateful.
Yeah.
Oh, we used that condo, man. That little itty bitty condo. We had house church in that condo. I want you guys to really listen. You know, I'm giving you the raw of our testimony, my wife and mine. It, you know, because I know there might be people who say, they got properties and they, yeah, no, we commit everything that we've gotten to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So when he gave us a car, we went and picked up people, brought them to church.
Yeah.
Picked up children and had to clean the proverbial jelly off the seats and stuff. You know what I'm saying? We use everything.
Yeah.
We've done that for 40 years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was the same with that little condo. We used every square inch of that little itty bitty condo, and had house church, man. It would fill that condo, man.
It's like pack the joint out.
We would pack the joint out, man.
Yeah.
You know, and so our faith was high because we had committed it to God.
Yeah.
And we said, God, we would like to continue to do, we'd like to do more of this, but I want some more space.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole thing was about. So that's why I wanted to preface it, right? Because we're speaking to people who aren't all in America.
You know? Right, right, right.
And so, you know, to say you have, you know, a property here and a property there, what have you, right, can sound a particular way. But it's not like that. You know, not everybody in America is rich, you know. And as a believer, it's important for us to commit everything that we have and everything that we are to God. And then what God does is, as you use it in his service, then he increases you.
Yeah.
Almost like the talents, mm-hmm. the servants with the talents, you know. And so I made that request to the Lord. My wife and I, you know, grabbed hands, found a scripture,
mm-hmm.
and sowed that scripture into our own hearts and said, okay, we're standing on this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And that began the process of looking for the home that we just moved into, maybe a month ago, 2 months ago. And we're grateful to God, man. We're grateful to God. But part of the absence, that was my whole point in bringing it up. Part of the absence of not being on the podcast with you was twofold. It was that we were in that process of just needing to focus for a minute on what we were dealing with. But we were dealing with more than just trying to find a house.
Yeah, yeah.
We were dealing with the things that I was going through in my body at the same time. And, you know, and so I'm really grateful that I'm here.
Oh yeah.
You know, and able to get back on and continue to do the things that we believe God has called us to do.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the place that I have is almost exactly double the size.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, almost down to the exact square footage, double the size of the place that we came out of.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a backyard and I have a front yard and, you know, and I have a private road and, you know, and I'm just grateful to God. It humbles me to have a testimony of his goodness and his kindness. It's not because I'm some financial phenom. It's not because I spent every dime properly. There's times that I spent, you know, like I did not, you know. It's not even so much because, you know, some people would talk about sowing.
Yeah.
Sowing money, you know, go and if you sow enough money, then it'll. I'm not touching that at all. All I'm saying is he's a good God. Yeah. And you learn how to follow him. It's not methods. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not systems. It's relationship.
That's it. That's a common word on this podcast.
Yes, it is.
Over and over. Yes, relationship. It is.
And on this final episode of this season, I think it's a good place to, you know, to hang out for a minute, man, because everything has to come back to relationship. Everything is about relationship. So anyway, we even got to a place where I felt like the Lord was saying, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Now here we are living out of boxes, our little condo. We got boxes all over the place because we're putting action to our faith.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's already happened inside of us.
That's right.
So we put action to our faith and we're living among the boxes.
And you got the pod.
And it got the pod.
Yeah.
Put a bunch of stuff in the pod. The stuff is in the pod for a year and something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're putting action to our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere in there, the Lord says, just leave it alone for a minute. So I call our good friend and realtor.
Yeah.
And who you introduced me to,
yeah.
You know, and he's a good brother, man, solid brother.
Great guy.
And was in faith with us the whole thing, the whole way. And for you listeners, it's always good to have somebody, you know, you can get a realtor. There's good realtors out there that may not be born again. But my point is that, man, when you find somebody that's family, it really makes the difference because they will get in faith with you.
Yep.
And now it's not just a business transaction.
Yeah.
They're in faith with you
for
real.
It's a faith project.
It's a faith project. Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, he had put a lot of time and effort into trying to find us something. And I go to him and I say, hey, look, I really feel like the Lord is saying, just leave it alone for a minute. And he said, oh, man, okay, that's good. No ifs, no ands, no buts. He has, you know, he's trying to get paid, too.
Yeah,
he has a family to take care of, too.
Yeah.
But he believes me and believes that I believe God.
That's right.
We leave it alone for a few months, several months. And then all of a sudden, I felt like the Lord said, now. It's like I literally heard the word in my heart, now.
Yeah.
And when he said now, I went online, Troy. I go to the house app that I had been looking up houses for, and what pops up on the screen is the house that we now own. they had not even officially, they had no pictures of the inside. They just had a picture of the outside, and it said coming soon.
Yeah.
And so I just really believe I might have been the first one to see that house,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I called our friend, the realtor. And I said, hey, look, I just found a house. Come to find out, he had just seen the same house and was about to send it to me.
I love it.
And I said, listen, I'm going up there right now. I'm leaving work. I'm going up there. I just need to put my eyes on it and stand on the ground, and I will know whether this is it or not.
Yeah.
And I drove up there. It was some almost 50 minutes away
yeah.
from where I was. And I drove up there, and when I got out the car, I was like, this is it. I felt God on the property.
Yeah.
And I walked around it and checked it out. And I said, yeah, this is it, man. And so
I love you know, that. I love that.
So, yeah, that's kind of where we've been. I wasn't in the dungeon. I wasn't in a literal dungeon. But, you know, we just did a podcast. I think the podcast that if you guys are listening, the podcast right before this final for season 4
yeah.
is called Insecurity.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about this idea of knowing in whom you believe.
Correct.
Yet praising him. Y-E-T, yet praising him. In other words, even when things aren't going right, you recognize that he deserves our praise.
Yeah.
He deserves our. And so Robin and I, my wife and I, we worship.
Mm-hmm.
We worship. God, you're so good. Oh, Lord, you're not doing it. You've done it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, he likes that stuff, man. You're not doing it. You've done it. Matter of fact, you didn't do it yesterday. You didn't do it a month ago. You did it over 2,000 years ago. Your word says that you did it at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Before the beginning, he had already been slain. You've already taken care of every meal we'll ever need. We're saying this to God.
Yeah.
We've gotten used to doing that for 40 years. Just reminding him that we know that you've taken care of every meal we'll ever need, every stitch of clothing,
yeah,
every roof, every electric bill. You know what I'm saying? Every transportation that we'd ever need. Everything that we need, you've already taken care of it. You're not in heaven trying to make something happen and twiddling your thumbs and going, oh, my me. You know what I'm saying? We say, oh, my God. So, you know, God is not in heaven talking about, oh, my me. No. And so we reminded him that we remember that he is good.
Got to take time to do that.
Oh, dude.
Got to take time to do that.
Dude. So, yeah, that's... I gave a long answer to a short question, but
no, it's good.
But
that, no, that's, somebody need to hear that.
Yeah,
somebody need to hear that.
Yeah,
something else somebody needs to hear. Just in case you guys didn't catch it, you can't do the math or anything like that. Bruce and his wife hit 40 years of marriage this year, so that's another big.
Yeah. We had a milestone.
Yeah, congratulations, Dad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's just a couple of days ago, actually, from the day of this recording. We hit 40 years married. For those of you who really want to freak out, I'll tell you that that Robin and I met on Christmas Day 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And we got married on January 26, 1985. If you do the math, that's 31 days.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, and so we've been married 40 years. We got married after only knowing each other 31 days, and then we've been married 40 years. I can only attribute that to God.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to, you know, my wife and I mess around with each other all the time, and I say, you know, I had some serious swag.
Yeah.
The young people call it Riz. I'm saying that just for your daughters.
I know it. And I hope they hear this.
I hope they hear it. The young, you know, the Riz that I had, man, was, it was good, man. You know, I just knew it. And I said to her, very unceremoniously, I said, you know, I think I'm going to have to marry you.
Yeah.
And she said, really? And I said, really? And she said, okay.
I love that.
And, you know, and I was like, yeah. She said, yeah. You know, and here we are 40 years later, two children, 9 grandchildren. God has been good to us.
Amen.
God has been good to us, man. And I would be remiss to not mention all the other spiritual children that God has given us.
Yeah.
And all the other spiritual grandchildren.
Yeah.
That God has given us. To us, they're no different. We just don't share human blood. But other than that, they're no different. There's mm-hmm. nothing that I would do for my children or grandchildren biologically that I would not do for them.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing.
And so we're very, very, very grateful that God has allowed us to still be here. And you know what, Troy, I always say this, to still not only be here, but to still be relevant.
Yeah.
We're relevant in the kingdom.
Yeah, man, you guys have this thing, man. I don't know why. Me and Jasmine, my daughter, we're talking about this. I think it was either today or it was yesterday that young people are just drawn to you and Robin.
It is the strangest thing.
And she's one of them.
It is the weirdest thing for us. You know what I'm saying? It is the weirdest thing for us. We're in our 60s.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been that way for a long time, Troy.
Yeah.
It's been that way for a long time. I'll tell you a story. Yesterday morning, from the day of this recording, yesterday morning, I walked into a store early morning to pick up a couple of things on my way to work.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted some yogurt. Got me some yogurt. It was a little girl. She might have been maybe 5 or 6. And I had on my, you know, I'm a cowboy fella. You know, I like the Western wear. Yeah. So I had on my cowboy boots. I had on my cowboy hat. I walk up to the self checkout, and she looks up at me and she says, "Wow," and just starts talking to me.
That's so funny.
Say hello. She had a little pocketbook with a little fake stuffed animal in mm-hmm. the and little dog, and she says, "Say hello to my dog." I said, "Hey, how you doing?" Mm-hmm. You know, and it just like that.
Yeah.
But it happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I just come down to their level.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing because, see, it reminds me that God came down to our level.
Absolutely.
In order to bring us up to his level. Boy, that's good right there.
Absolutely.
He comes down to our level in order to give us an opportunity to come up to his level. And I'm having this wonderful conversation with this little girl who, by the way, we don't share the same skin color.
Yeah.
I'll say it like that. And her dad is just, you know, standing there smiling. And she is just talking to me and telling me all about her pocketbook and the little dog and about how her brother thought so much of her. This little girl's 5, maybe 6.
Yeah.
And she sounds like a grown woman. Yeah, my brother bought me this pocketbook and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, oh, man, that is so cool, man. I loved it, you know, and we're having this great conversation. And then the dad finally said, "Were you in the military?" I said, "I was." He said, "Thank you for your service." I said, "Well, thank you. I appreciate that." And she said, "Okay, I got to go." And right before she walks away, she says, "My mom is in the Navy."
Nice.
She whispers it. "My mom is in the Navy." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, do you tell your mom that I said thank you for her service?" She said, "Okay. Bye." You know, yeah, little kids, man.
Yeah.
It happens to us all the time.
Yeah.
And it keeps you humble.
It does.
Oh, man.
It does.
It keeps us humble. And so we have that, man, with little ones all the way to young adults, man. And I you know, I can only attribute that to God because, you know, I wouldn't cross the street to see me.
I feel the same way about me. You know? I got asked to come last night. I was asked to come and teach young adults group.
Yeah.
So it was young adults from different places. Some of them are from our church, and then some of them are from different places.
Yeah.
And they asked me to come last week. And so I ended up getting there last night to teach, and I had a blast.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a blast, yeah,
that's
man.
That's so cool, man.
There's just a different type of atmosphere when you're dealing with the younger people. They bring a different type of energy.
They do, and it's so cool because they trust you.
Yeah.
And I found that if they trust you, then they open up.
Yeah.
There's no pretense.
Yeah.
I have the same thing at work. There's all these young people at work, you know, and there's no pretense. I actually told a couple of them. I said, "You know why I kind of like hanging out with y'all?" And they said, "Why?" I said, "Because there's no pretense."
Yeah.
I said, "Sometimes when you get older," and I'm talking to 20, 30 somethings, 20 and 30 somethings. I said, "Sometimes when you get older," you know, Kate takes us back to our podcast on insecurities.
Yeah.
"Sometimes when you get older, but you're still insecure, you put on airs and you find That's it right. difficult to just be yourself, you know?" And so, yeah, that's a really cool thing. But anyway, you know, that's I have to attribute all of that to God, that we're still relevant.
Yeah,
and
man.
That's something that we thank him for all the time.
It's a good thing.
You know, that we can still impart. Let me give a good religious word. We can still impart.
That is a good religious word.
You know what I'm saying? We can still impart, you know. So.
Well, I know this was a good season, season 4, and I'm like 4 seasons already.
Yeah, man.
You know, I think at the count, I think we're at 70-some episodes.
Wow.
Which is insane to me. I didn't
think that is crazy, dude.
70-some episodes, so, you know, out of the 4 seasons.
That's crazy.
I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool. I had no idea we had done that many episodes.
Several different guests.
I was going to say that. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to mention your wife first.
You know, Tisha.
Just the joy of having Tisha in on several of those.
Yeah.
You know, just enhances the conversation so wonderfully. And then who else? We had
Mauricio.
Mauricio.
He killed it.
Mauricio killed it. I think that we were talking about Matt, husbands loving
your wives. Yeah.
Loving your wives.
And great episode.
We had the Brewers.
Which is always fun.
Always fun.
Two of my favorite people in the world.
Mine too. They're so wonderful,
and
man.
Dr. Tim and Cheryl.
And Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And yeah.
That was a good one too, because we talked about marriage from the premarital standpoint, which is often overlooked.
Right.
We run into so many people that have issues.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, didn't you guys discuss that before you got married? And no, they didn't.
No. no, they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a really good episode. And Dr. Tim and Cheryl will be back next season. I don't know what they'll have cooked up for us. I just know
it will be good. Whatever it is, whichever direction they want to go, it'll be good. I remember you and Tisha talking about Not Ishmael.
Oh, that was really good.
That was really good.
So many people settle in this life, and it was very easy for Abram to settle for, look, I got a son.
Yeah.
You know, just let it be this. But God's like, no. It's got to come through her.
Right.
And it's a promised son, not a contrived one.
Yeah. God goes, no, I got a plan.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll stick to my plan.
But God, but look at my age. God, but no, we're good.
We're good.
I got a plan. I got a plan. And then we came back and talked about relationship management.
Yeah, man.
I think that was episode 14, if I remember correctly.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. Relationship management. That was really good. You know, just trying to help people understand, you know, because sometimes folks don't manage their relationships. There's no better way to say it. I say like this, if you don't get good at managing your relationships will manage you.
They will.
You know,
they will.
And I think that's a true statement.
It absolutely is.
You know, and so it's not being mean. It's, you know, but you have to recognize where I learned that from. I learned that from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was a fantastic manager of his relationships.
Yep.
And not just the disciples. You know, he had siblings.
Yep.
He had a mama.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He had a bunch of interactions with people, which I think is still there's some level of management there too, even though we're kind of mainly talking about those that you're actually in real relationship with. But the idea that there's a scripture that says that he didn't submit himself to any man because he knew the evil that was in the heart of men I hear relationship management.
Well, sure, because you can't let everybody have access. And I think
you can't.
This
and stay on the assignment.
You can't.
God has given you.
There's no way possible.
Oh, it'll derail you for
sure. Too many people pull at you, and then you feel obligated because this is I got my quotes up, my friend.
Yep.
You know.
Been there.
Yeah, I don't know how many people really understand what friendship really is.
Right.
If you really understood friendship, you would have very few of them.
Yep.
You'd have a lot of associates, a lot of people you're acquainted with, a lot of people you're friendly with. But true friends, you're probably only going to have a handful of those.
Yeah, my mama told me that when I was a little boy.
Yeah, yeah.
That you'll probably only end up, you know, with a handful of true friends.
Yeah.
I never forgot that. She told me that many years ago.
It's the way it is. So, yeah, you got to learn how to manage your relationships. And I think that was a really good topic to help people out with. It helped me out just talking it out.
You guys talked about weaponizing patience. That was a really good one.
That's when we asked God, hurry up and give me some patience.
And then the trouble came.
Yeah, I know, right?
What was the old adage? Don't ask for patience.
People say that all the time.
Don't ask for patience.
And it's crazy they'll say that, and it is part of the fruit of the Spirit.
It is.
You need patience.
You really need it. And you know, to further quote that particular verse, you know, it goes on to say, let patience have her perfect work.
Perfect work. And you'll lack nothing.
And you'll lack nothing. That's powerful, dude.
It is powerful, man.
Wait a minute. I'm lacking right now, and you're telling me that it could be associated with my lack of patience?
Absolutely.
Man, that's a Selah.
Just imagine that.
That's a Selah, man.
I love it.
What else did we talk about?
Oh, let me see.
You and Tisha talked about Abide. That was really good. John 15.
I think I did that one on my own.
Oh, did you?
I think I did.
Okay.
So when we talked about abiding and being cut back.
You did do that. I remember John 15. To produce
fruit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people thought that you get cut off when you don't produce fruit. And we were able to show, the only time you get cut off is when you don't abide.
Mm-hmm.
Go through the text. That's when you get cut off is when you don't abide. He that doesn't abide.
That's right.
So, and learning how to abide, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
So that was a fun episode. That one, that one's near and dear to my heart because that abide was a journey.
Abide in me.
Yeah, that was a journey for me.
And I'll abide in you.
And it's still a journey for me.
Yeah, amen.
Learning how to abide in all ways and everything. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah.
What else?
What else did we talk about? Didn't we talk about church hurt a little bit?
We did. We actually had a part one and two, so that must have been a really, really good conversation because we went long and decided to bust it up into two parts. But that was really good, church hurt, just identifying what it is, and I think we gave some practical applications, if I recall, about how to deal with it. And I think one of the things that stood out to me, a statement that you made, you gave a definition of what church hurt was.
Yes.
To you, know what I'm saying? That putting that what's the word you use? Expectation.
Yeah, church hurt was a manifestation
of poorly placed expectations, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that was really, really good. It's such a great description.
I think it was the manifestation of misappropriated trust.
Misappropriated trust, that's it right there.
And you put the trust you were supposed to have in God, and you put that in a person.
You put that in a person, and then that person fails you because, like humans do.
Yeah.
Like humans do, and now you're mad, And some people don't get past that the idea that, well, they're human. Of course they were going to fail me, even if they didn't want to.
Of course.
But you're upset because you didn't have that paradigm working inside of you to understand that, hey, I need to keep my faith in God because people are fallible.
People are fallible.
Yeah.
I think we did a podcast on servitude, too.
You did.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Learning how to serve and why to serve.
And it's important for people to hear that. Right,
it is.
Because, I'll say Christendom, 2025 Christendom is very different than even 1995.
It is, it is
very different than 1985 or 1965.
It is.
Christendom 2025 is very different. So I thought it was a good one, even from the standpoint of just simply bringing it to our listeners' attention is something that we talk about a lot, and that is that God has standards and that he has requirements.
Yes.
And that it's not just about, okay, I'm saved. I accepted Jesus and I'm saved, and now I expect everything to work out, the way I want it to work out without any obligation upon me at all. So I thought it was really good to just broach the subject.
You need to. And I thought it was necessary, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Talk about servitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we'll never grow out of.
No.
And we'll never grow out of serving. You're going to serve one another, I think, even after this is all over.
I believe that.
It's just the nature of who God is.
Yeah. I really believe that. I believe that, there'll be something to do,
Yeah.
In the fullness of his kingdom, there will be something to do. And it probably will have to do with, with serving somebody.
Something, sure.
And that's a beautiful thing, man.
I think one episode that got me, and I think it was also another one that was broken out into two episodes, was I was like, I can't believe we've been this long and never talked about forgiveness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, we have to put that on the docket.
Yeah.
We had to talk about
forgiveness. That made it all the way to season four. It's amazing.
We didn't talk about forgiveness
prior to, you know, this season that's ending now.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing to me.
It's like so many people struggle with that, and they don't know how to deal with, you know, unforgiveness. They don't understand it's just making a decision to forgive.
Yeah, that's all.
You know, and I was like, how do we make it to season four without talking
about it? I know. But no, it's I've always said this, Troy, you know, forgiveness is a decision.
Yeah.
As you just said.
Yeah.
But the Lord gave me this many years ago. He said, but based on how deep you've been hurt, you may have to let your feelings catch up.
Mm-hmm.
To the decision you make.
Yeah.
You make the decision to forgive. It's not a feeling. Some people get, you know, I think a lot of people think I got to feel like, or maybe even feel like I got to feel like I like them again.
Or even to further that point, I feel like I have to put myself back in the same situation.
And that has nothing to do with actual forgiveness. Forgiveness is a decision.
That's it.
And I use the analogy that if somebody's swinging knives,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you don't realize and you walk up on them, but they're swinging knives, you know what I'm saying? And you get cut. Even if they apologize and say, you know, I'm so sorry, I really didn't mean to cut you.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay, well, that's fine. I forgive you, right? Guess what you still have to do? You may still have to go and tend to that wound.
Yep.
And that wound is going to take a while to heal.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, true forgiveness is I would never do anything against that person. I would never hold them in contempt. I might not walk up on them anymore, you know what I'm saying, until they learn not to swing knives.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the trust issue.
Uh-huh.
And so I think a lot of people get that confused, the forgiveness and the trust issue.
Sure, sure.
You know what I'm saying? That's a totally different animal.
Yeah, altogether.
Altogether,
yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, I think that was really, really, really good. What else did we talk about?
My altars was another good one.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, all the different places people tend to build altars and the places they tend to worship, the things they tend to worship.
I think we killed some sacred cows.
That's what we do sometimes.
On that episode, if I recall.
Yeah, that's what we do sometimes. Yeah,
I think we killed some sacred cows. I think we, you know, we hit some things in the head, as they say. And
people have built altars to all kind of things.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They'll build, even unknowingly.
Yeah,
sometimes they'll sit and worship at the altar. One of the things you just mentioned, it just the pain that people have to experience.
Oh yeah,
they'll just stay right there and build an altar to it. Yeah. And I'm just gonna be right here.
To the degree that some can come along and say, "Hey, get up! You need to get up. This is not good for you. You need to get up. No, leave me alone. I'm gonna.
I know, right?
You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, let me stew right here. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, it's not gonna work out for you.
Not at all.
You need to get up and choose to go on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it really is a choice. Nobody's making you stay, you know, in unforgiveness. Nobody's making you stay in a bad, you know, bad frame of mind. You can choose to think differently.
Yeah.
You can choose to feel differently, I believe.
You can.
You know what I'm saying?
You can.
I choose not to be down. I choose to be up. I choose to be happy. I choose to be filled with the joy of the Lord. That's better than happiness.
Absolutely.
I choose to be filled with the joy of the Lord.
Absolutely.
And now the things that happen to me don't change me because I found this steady inside of Christ. And now I'm steadfast in him. So all the world can happen around me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't touch the inside of me because I finally came to that place.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I think another fun episode for us was the worship episode.
Yeah.
And talking about what worship is.
Yeah.
What it really is.
Yeah, we worship.
I think it was. I think that was another good episode.
Yeah.
And just discussing that the lifestyle that you live is worship.
Yep.
Not the music, not the lights and the fog machines.
That's right.
all that kind of stuff, but the life that you live.
And I think I remember bringing a point out concerning, for me, worship has to do with sacrifice.
Well, in order to worship, it's all about something dying.
It's all about something dying. And
it's all about something dying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
You
present your body, right? And I got that from Abraham.
Yeah.
When he's you know going to sacrifice Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the idea that worship requires something that you love to be offered.
Absolutely.
To be sacrificed, to die.
Yeah, he said, go kill your son. And he told the young men, we're going yonder to worship.
To worship.
Yeah.
And then spoke in faith and said, and we'll be back.
And we will be back.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So that was a great episode, man.
Yeah.
Who is they? Oh my God.
Oh yeah, that seemed to be a big discussion point that became increasingly bigger as the election got closer. It's always a they.
Oh my God.
And nobody can tell you who they is.
Nobody can tell you who they is.
They can tell you who they can tell you who they think they is.
They can tell you what they did.
Yeah.
They can tell you what they said.
Yeah. People can tell you that all day long.
They can tell you how they feel about they.
But they can't tell you who they is.
They can't tell you who they is.
Yeah, and I think we identified they.
I think we identified they.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are listening and you're wondering, okay, you know, it's in there. It's in there. Go back and
listen to that one.
Go back and listen to that one. I think you'll get helped big time.
Yeah.
What else? I think I wasn't on this one, but I remember two. Be faithful. I'm sorry, be fruitful.
Yes.
I think you and Tisha did that one.
Yeah.
Be fruitful. And then you guys did Not Ishmael.
Yeah.
Did we mention that
we
already?
We mentioned
Not Ishmael already.
We did talk about
that. That was being Don't fruitful. Settle.
Yeah. Being fruitful is so important to the believer because your life is supposed to be. It's supposed to produce fruit. And the truth of the matter is your life will produce fruit one way or the other.
It will.
Yeah. And so we concentrate on producing the right type of fruit, the right kind of fruit.
Yeah.
The fruit that's attractive, the fruit that sustains.
Yes.
It's one of the things, and I don't even know if we talked about this on the podcast, but I know one time when I was teaching about being fruitful.
Yeah.
I was explaining something that the apple tree.
Yeah.
Even though it has apples on it, it doesn't eat apples.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It doesn't eat apples.
Such a good point, man.
Right? The apples.
I see where you're going.
The apples are eaten by people that come around, but the apple tree itself doesn't eat apples.
Right.
So what does the apple tree need to survive? It needs, other than being in the soil, it needs two things. It needs light.
Yeah.
That's revelation.
Right.
It needs water.
Yeah.
That's the word of God.
Yeah.
It needs those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we produce fruit? We get revelation from the word of God. This is how we produce fruit.
Yeah.
And so I wish I would have said that on a podcast. I'm pretty sure I didn't.
That's pretty good, man.
I'm sure I didn't. But I think that's one of the things that we got to look at because the apple tree, the fruit is never for the tree. The fruit is for the people that come around the tree.
That's exactly right.
So that's how we're supposed to live our lives. What we produce is not really for us. It's for others.
And I remember, I may have to share it one of these days, but I remember writing a poem. I do some writing, and I wrote a poem, and it was called Fruit Inspector.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You might have to bring that in.
I may have to bring that in at some point. I just thought about that. I wrote that some years ago. But basically just talking about Jesus. Jesus is, you know, he doesn't just inspect the fruit. He inspects the roots, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And
that's it.
Yeah, I may have to share that at some point.
That's it.
A child is born, a son is given.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Right before Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was really good, man.
Yeah, I like that one.
I think people could identify with that.
Absolutely.
And then I think you guys did Love Mercy.
Oh, I have shown you, old man, what is good and what is required.
Micah 6.
Is that it?
Micah 6. Yeah.
And what is required? That you act justly, that you love mercy.
You walk humbly.
Humbly with your God.
With your God. Boy, that's one of my favorite scriptures.
It's been one of my favorite scriptures for years,
yes, sir.
Man.
Yes, sir.
And just acting, knowing what justice is and knowing that we as people don't get to decide what it is.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And justice doesn't necessarily look like what we think it should look
That's
like.
That's right. That's right.
If justice looked like what we think it should look like, all mm-hmm. of us would be on our way to hell.
Absolutely.
Right.
Don't stop.
Yep.
Don't collect $200. No. Don't pass go.
No. And so it's better to rely on God's idea of what justice is, you know, and that love and mercy. Love and mercy. If you love mercy, you'll dispense mercy.
Yes. Right. Yes, absolutely.
If you love mercy, you'll not just receive mercy. So it doesn't even talk about loving to receive mercy. It says love mercy.
Yeah.
That would mean intake and outgo.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So you have to love it both ways. So.
Absolutely. But you learn that through understanding how merciful he's been to you.
Yes.
And then it becomes a part of you, and then it's easier to give out. You know what I say? I don't use the term second nature. I say first nature. It becomes first nature.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then finally, I believe we've covered all of them for season four, and this last one is crucified with Christ.
Oh,
I
think that's man.
Save that one for last. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Crucified with Christ. Yeah,
crucified
man.
With Christ.
Oh boy.
Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, but not I live. Mm. You know, but Christ in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son faith of God,
of the one who called me.
Yeah.
I live by the faith of Jesus Christ.
I love it.
That's a wonderful, wonderful way.
Galatians 2:20.
Yeah.
I love it. It's one of my favorite passages too.
Yeah. That's so good, man.
Being crucified with Christ. It's, you know what? It's funny because when we talk about that scripture, right? Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things that kind of, you know, we tip over sacred cows here and there, right? Mm-hmm.
We do.
The Bible tells you that the old man has been crucified with his desires, right?
Yes.
And it tells you the old man is dead. Mm-hmm. And then it tells you that your flesh has been crucified with Christ.
Right.
And yet you have people to tell you, oh, you're going to fight with your flesh your whole life. You're going to fight with the old man. No, you're not.
No.
They've both been crucified.
That's right.
So, and then that gets people to think, okay, well, if they've been crucified, if they've been killed, then what am I fighting? Well, you're fighting the influence they had.
Yes.
Right? So what does that mean? Well, you don't live for 35 or 40 years in a life of sin, and then you come to Christ and forget how to sin.
Right.
You don't come to Christ and live for him for 50 years and forget how to sin.
That's right.
You know what I mean? There's an influence that's still there.
That's right.
You know, and what you're doing is you're fighting the influence. That's all it is.
Yeah. No, that's so beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Before we go, I want to share something.
Yeah.
Just really quickly. It's 2025. We live in America.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world is looking at America right now.
Sure.
And there's a lot of stuff going on. Some good, some not so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, per our perception of it. But I do believe that nothing catches God off guard
ever.
One of the things that I believe the Lord said to me that I'd like to share with the listeners that I believe he said to me recently is tell the people to focus on the good.
Mm.
Keep their focus on the good.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what's going on, learn to trust in me and keep your focus on the good. And to me, that's what he meant. He's good.
He's good.
So he's saying, keep your focus on me.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
No matter what's happening, keep your focus on me. And so I just wanted to share and make this my last statement, I think. Philippians, in that context, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true,
mm-hmm.
whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a good way to seal up season four. We thank all of our listeners, which by season five will be viewers.
Yes. 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 Yes.
But
yes,
we
yes.
thank all of our listeners for hanging out with us. If you're new to Under the Fig Tree, we thank you for joining us. And for the folks that have been with us for a while, like our good friend Brad Percy, he's been listening to us for quite some time.
Yeah. What's up, Brad?
Yeah, just a great dude. Even that Michael Westbrook.
Oh boy.
Even him.
We call him Westy.
He's Westy. He's still a great dude though.
He's it's so funny, man, because all of y'all are baby brothers to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he's like the baby brother of all the baby brothers. You know what I'm saying? I love me some Westy, man.
Yeah, that's my guy.
He's such a good dude, man.
That's my guy. Yeah. And even to Kenneth.
Oh, my God.
We don't get to see Kenneth and talk to him as much as we used to because of his work schedule, but that's still my guy.
But that Kenny is like no other human being
no,
that I know of. I'm still tripping at how Kenny, he went with you guys to the annual conference you guys do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's some 2,500, 3,000 children, man, that show up.
Oh, yeah, and the youth conference.
And he becomes an instant.
Listen.
He becomes an instant celebrity.
Yeah.
To those kids because Kenny is just, he's like a child. I mean, they have childlike faith.
Yes, he does.
There's no pretense with him.
No.
You know, what you see is what you get.
Yep.
And I love that because children will look right through you.
Yep.
And if it's real, they know it. If it's not real, they know it. Right? Yeah. And so we like to tease him, but Kenny is just, you know, you're getting a big shout out, Kenny.
Yeah,
just
man.
Want you to know.
Yeah, he was an instant celebrity because I'm like, I come here every year.
For how many years?
12, 13 years. And all I get is grief from these kids.
Mr. Troy, Mr. Troy, why can't we go over here? Mr. Troy.
And I'm the one that's got to tell him to stop running, stop jumping, stop doing all that.
Cop.
Yeah, man. And Kenny comes. I remember he was before one of the services. He was sitting on the stage, had his wife on. What's it called for Apple? FaceTime. Yeah, he had his wife on. And I'm like, she's talking to the kids. Kenny's talking. They're laughing, and I'm like, she's not even here.
She's not even here.
And they treat her better.
It's so funny. But you know what? This year will be what? His third year? Fourth year?
Oh, no. I think he's like year five.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, man. And it's a beautiful thing, man, to find something that you excel in.
Yeah.
In the way of service, the way of servitude.
And yeah, man.
It's a beautiful thing. So, Kenny, thank you for being who you are. And
yeah.
And, You better give us our money, you know, when we see you. For
talking
you
good
such
about
a good
you.
Shout out.
So many people, you know, so little time. We can't catch everybody, but there are some people that's been riding with us since day one. There's some people that just jumped on in season 3 or 4. It doesn't matter. We love everybody, and we appreciate you taking time and, you know, just taking some time to listen to what God is saying through us, and really trying to connect with us. I would love to hear from you. So you can find us at info@h20live.org. And we'd like to hear, you know, feedback from you. Even the negative feedback, we're okay with that. We get some of that anyway.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
But we'd like to hear from you. info@h20live.org.
And some of our regular listeners know that they can email and make suggestions of things they'd like us to talk about.
True.
Let's say that again.
True, yeah.
For any new listeners.
Yeah, if you got some topics that you'd like to hear us kick around, go ahead and send that in. info@h20live.org. And we'll start studying on it and kick it around and see what God gives. But just a really, really good time this season. I'm looking forward to season 5.
Yes, me too.
It'll be really good. So I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much for joining us here under the Fig Tree.